Okay, this is a completely different application.
I was inspired a few years ago by this this article which I found out in Scientific American, whose title was it was an issue of the magazine dealing with where is it? Okay.
There was the picture.
The issue was dealing with future cities in the future. Okay. It was
I think 4 years ago,
and I was inspired by this article that says bigger cities do more with less. Okay. And there was a picture, which once upon a time was here when I saw it, but then they removed it, and it was clearly a least square approximation. Okay. So I dig this stuff a little bit. What are these physicists saying? He is saying that cities are more productive and efficient as they grow. Bigger cities are more efficient than smaller cities. Okay? And somehow this turned out to be a very popular topic. Because a few months afterwards, and now I need to make it smaller, there was this article in the New York Times Magazine about the same research, titled "The Physicist Solves the City," okay? Or another title was "It Turns It Into Turns the City Into Simple Equations," okay? And in particular here I was, now I need to find it back. A few times. Okay, here. This sentence is here. So it says, after 2 years of analysis, the two scientists find out that the urban variables could be described by a few simple equations. For instance, and this is what hit me, is if the node population of a metropolitan area in a given country, they can estimate its average country and the dimension of its sewer system. Sewer, so no... Le fognature, esatto. Okay, so...
I have no interest in the sewer systems, so, and I even didn't know how to perform this. And moreover, they said with approximately 8% accuracy. Okay. So I find out that these simple statements they had were very popular because first of all, being in the New York Times is not
that common for a scientist. But also, The Economist a few months later published an entire article exactly on the same research, calling it "The Laws of the City." The contents they are saying exactly the same stuff because they were describing the same research by these physicists from the Santa Fe Institute. Okay,
so I got interested here,
and I wanted to repeat to somehow check this stuff here about the connection with between the population of an area and average income, or let's say GDP, gross domestic product, PIL, okay, prodotto interno lordo. And at the time I was not able to find data on our country, so funny, it was easier to find data from the U.S. Department of Commerce, okay? And in particular, I find out a paper in which they defined, where should it be? A paper by their researcher in which, first of all, they gave it,
they divided the U.S. into metropolitan areas, which is not a trivial task. I mean, okay. For instance, here, what is the metropolitan, if any? What is the metropolitan area here? Pisa County, the province of Pisa, or is it a part of it plus Livorno and Lucca and Viareggio and you don't know. I mean, it's not easy to identify a metropolitan area. So this researcher did this, and they also gave estimate of the GDP in this area, in these metropolitan areas. And so I took their data. Yes. I want to open it. So here I have. I wanted to show you, it's just an Excel table, okay, in which you have, here it is. Okay, oh, it's very, very small, but here you have the metropolitan areas of the U.S., which are around, they divided it into around 266, first row as the name, and here you have both the population and the GDP in millions of dollars, okay, estimate. So I took this data from them, and what did I do? So population, here you see, population and GDP in millions, okay. I wanted to know if there's what kind of relationship exists between between them. Okay, the first idea that comes to your mind is, okay, we are 100,000 people. We have some let's say GDP. Okay. We take an area with the double of the population. You first think you would think it that the GDP doubles. Okay. What they were implying is that it gets more than the double. Okay. So I wanted to check some relationship between population and GDP through some model functions. Okay. And so these are the data. Now I should go back to MATLAB. I should check. And okay, yeah. I put the data, so let me load them. Then I will explain what this is. Okay. So these are the U.S. data according to the people from that bureau of the U.S. Department of Commerce. Here you have, on the x-axis, you have the population of the area, and on the y-axis you have the GDP. Okay. So each point is a particular metropolitan area. This here should be somehow Los Angeles, New York, and I don't know which other is so big, Chicago or something. Okay. You see that most of them are here. Okay. These are tens of millions. Okay. So my idea was, okay. What economists also generally do is the following, that they always think that the relationship between two variables is linear. Okay. So the basic idea is the following. You would say that the GDP is somehow let's say as a function of the population, P,
is some function x1 times t. Okay? And I check this model and this other model. Okay? Time, or if you prefer better, population power. Okay? And indeed, here, what's now, let me put the picture. Okay. Here I run least square. Okay. And I gave you this message, which is what you generally get when you run a nonlinear least square. The algorithm stopped because the final change on the sum of squares of the object of the objective function is less than the default value. It means that you are going on with your iteration and the objective function does not decrease meaningfully anymore. Okay? It doesn't get better, so I stop. This is a suitable criterion for optimization algorithm, where your objective function doesn't improve anymore, it's not worth spending more time on the algorithm. It's not an optimality criterion. Okay? Optimality criterion should be, in this case, the gradient is zero, or it is roughly zero. Okay? Its norm is below some threshold. Okay? But, so, MATLAB gives you this message. Okay? The message is saying, take care. Okay? And then also speaks of local minimum, because I did not tell you, but this was also in the case of the previous example, these functions that come up are not convex. Okay? So we are not dealing with convex optimization problems. It might be possible that we stop at stationary points which are not global minima. So I run the, let's see if it works. Here, yeah. This is the best linear fitting. Okay. So you get the value for x1 here. And then I tried this other, and clearly I had to give an initial point, so I did reason the same way we did for the previous example somehow. And this is the other result I get. Okay? So clearly it is not linear because it starts below and then goes above the line. Okay? Clearly this x1 is not 1. Sorry, this x2 is not 1. Okay? And so the question, one question is, which of these two, oh, there's something more. Yes. I did this stuff just considering areas whose population was above 500,000. Okay? And so they were, I think, about 100 areas. Okay? And then I added all the others, which are here. Okay? Smaller ones. And you see the dotted lines, okay? Not very well because they are almost over the other ones. The linear and the population power one, okay? So here, if you see, this is the linear, it's almost the same, okay? So didn't bring much change. Okay, but my question is essentially another one. Are these approximations good or not? Okay, how can I measure which one is better and which one is not? Well, one way would be to compare the value of the objective function. Okay, which
we can do. Let me see. I should also open some other file because I don't. Just because it's simpler, let's just take the case in which we considered only the area above 1.5 million. And so, what is this? Okay, this is the linear case. In particular, also MATLAB and other software have a specific function for linear least square and a separate one for nonlinear ones. Okay, and economists generally stick to the linear to the linear one. So the optimal value of the linear model is this one, and of the nonlinear model it is this one. Okay, the difference is not huge. Okay, and if you are interested, the x1 coefficient in the linear model was this 0.047, and in the nonlinear model the two coefficients were this one, and this is the power. Okay, so the power here, it is not one, it is a bit more than one, 1.08. So you could roughly say it is a bit of a superlinear growth, okay? But it is not, it is very far from being a quadratic growth, okay? And this is pretty clear also from the picture. A quadratic would have done this way. It would have gone up much faster. So the question is, which of the two models provides the best approximation? How can I measure it? The difference in the objective function of the objective values of the solutions exists, but it is not this this amazing difference. Okay? So one way is to compute average errors. Okay, when I get here. Let me zoom somewhere if I manage. Okay. Let's take the this is a part of the of our data. Okay. Except very lucky situations, your points do not line on the best fitting curve. Okay. And there's a difference here. There's a gap here. Okay. One way to measure if this is a good approximation is to compute these distances. You have to take the absolute value because some are below and some are above. So this is, for instance, the distance from the prediction and the actual value is, or the value given by the model is, negative, and here it is positive, okay? Or vice versa, which one you subtract. So you take the absolute values. And then you could take, if you take the minimum, it doesn't mean much because it is enough to have one point on the curve, and the minimum is roughly zero, okay? You take the maximum, well, if you see in this area, there, most of them are pretty close to the model function, but some are very far. Okay, so and for instance, you could have all the points on the curve except one which is extremely far. The maximum would give you that. Okay, so one way would be to compute the mean of these distances. Of this discrepancy between the model and the true data, and if you want also the standard deviation, okay, to see how much they are concentrated. So, I already did it here. You see, this is the linear model. I computed the mean, which means the average value, and I take the difference between the true data, okay, and the model. Okay, this
two dots stand for arbitrary components, okay? And I get the vector of all those differences, and I take the absolute value. Okay, this is the absolute error. Okay, but clearly more than absolute values, it's interesting to get the relative error. Okay, so the difference divided by the true value, which is done here. Okay. So in the linear case, the mean relative error was 33%. Okay. In the non-linear case, the average error was 19%. Okay. And if you remember the New York Times articles, it was saying that the two physicists were able to compute to predict the GPD from the population with 85% accuracy. Okay, somehow here I could say 81%. Okay, and I did not compute, but we can try to compute the standard deviations to see if they are big or not. Okay, I miss it. Oh, no, sorry. I should do the standard deviation of the relative error. Okay, it's pretty big anyway in the linear model, but probably it is also big in the... in the nonlinear model. Let's see. I did not try this, so I do not know the answer. Well, the standard deviation is 23. So all reasonable data stand between the true value and so what was it? 40% mistake. But clearly, the non-linear model gives you a better approximation of the data. Okay, and this was what led us to scientists to say that bigger cities do more with less. Okay, or they are more efficient. All that's behind those articles is least squares. Okay, okay, they had to collect a huge number of data. They tried also different kind of variables. So it is not something. I mean, there's not something extremely mathematically deep behind that. But the message was more directed to economists, who generally think that the relationship between economic quantities is always linear. Okay, but I mean the difference is not this much. Do you have questions? Curiosity, remarks. So I've shown you two examples. One is classical from statistics and growth model theory, and this is a bit some sort of example of relationship between economic quantities. Okay. I was able a few days ago to catch Italian data, Okay. So I want to show them. I mean, the procedure is exactly the same, but I want to show you this stuff for a different reason. Here I get. I don't know if it opens it. Okay, I can close the picture. Okay, my source is pretty reliable because it is MET, our economics State Department, Ministério de Economia e Finanza. Okay. So I got this data, which, what's going on here? Oh, okay, it's extremely, extremely small. So here you have every municipality, comune, you have the number of people paying taxes in each municipality, and you have their, let's say, average income, actually is the value for IRPE. Okay? Let me make it a bit bigger for you. Okay, so, and now this is too big. Okay, this is the number of people paying taxes in Agrigento, and this is the global amount of let's say the global income. If you want to know some funny thing, there are 6 municipalities where there are 0 taxpayers. Okay, and surprise, all of them are in the north of Italy. And so I took this data and I tried to perform roughly the same kind of analysis. Okay. What's the point? Huh? So that was the U.S. and there were just 250 about. Areas. Okay, here municipalities are 8,000. So I had no idea how to build the metropolitan areas, and indeed I was not thinking of having a good weekend dividing Italy into metropolitan areas. So I did something which was pretty easy: I take counties, provincia. Okay. And I computed those data for the counties. Okay, so rather than for each common, and the counties are 110. Okay, and this is, let me see where we are. Yeah, and this is what we get. So this is the picture. Population of the county on the X and global income on the Y. Okay, not income per person, global, the sum of all of them. Okay, and this is the behavior. That one is Rome, the other one is Naples, and this I think is Milan and Torino. I did this exactly the same thing, and this is the result of the linear model, okay, and this is the result of the nonlinear model. Okay, if you see, the big difference is here. Okay, the line is more driven by this data
than the nonlinear, which started a bit slower and then got a bit faster. If I can check, and now. Okay, linear has this coefficient and non-linear has this coefficient here, where you see that the power is 1.1 roughly, okay? And if you measure the error, the mean error, the mean relative error, to be precise, in the linear case is 23%, and in the nonlinear case is 11%. Okay, so even better than the American case. I also tried to run this stuff in terms of municipalities. Okay, and this is what is a bit interesting. Yep. Okay, sorry, okay, so I ran it for municipalities, and this is the result. Clearly, almost everything is here, because this is million, so this is 20,000 people. Okay, most of them. That is wrong, and that is not. Oh, sorry. Once again, I told you that on the x-axis I had population. Actually, it is taxpayers. Okay. Which takes out all taking out all children or all of people who do not pay taxes even if they should, and so it's roughly different. Okay. Oh, it takes some time because now the model is bigger because it is no longer a matter of hundreds of data. This is 8,000, so it is 80 times more data. This is the nonlinear result. Okay. Let's check. I just ran the nonlinear model. Oh, format long, it's better. This is what you get. The power is 1.06. Okay, still a bit nonlinear. But what I want to show you is this. This is the average error, which means 145%. Okay, which is not good at all. And indeed, okay. Here I made no. Where is it? I don't have the software. I made a check on a final check, and then I checked all. These are all the data. I checked all. All the municipalities whose discrepancy from the model is more than 30%, okay, and then I plotted them in red, okay. You see they all concentrate here, okay. And if I'm able to zoom it, it gives you. So let's change the axis. I'm sorry, I never tried this new version of math. So let's say the Y is automatic and the X, let's check up to 200,000.
Let's check. So here it is. Okay. You see, you have a number of places where you really underestimate, and very few where you overestimate. And you see, the smaller the municipality is, the more it's likely that you make a huge mistake. So if I even go back to this area here, you also see, okay, you see the trend. Let's go up to 2,000 people, and this is oh, I don't like this. Let's see if I can make it a bit better. No. Okay. See, here you see that all the data which provides those terrible average value are small comments, and you can see here two different trends there. Okay. What's the message here? The message here is that these data are not enough aggregated. Okay. They are too separated on too small quantities. Okay. To provide that type of information. If you are curious, no. Terribile questo schermo oggi. I can also give you ad arrivarci. The number of municipalities for each region which are over and underestimated. Which is your guess? If you have any. Here they are. Okay. These are the percentage of underestimate and overestimated. Okay. Sorry, the graphic is terrible today. Okay? And you see that the model fits pretty well on task. Oh, okay, overestimated except for Piemonte and Lombardia and somehow this other is pretty non-existent. Okay? It's small percentage. But the model fits well on task in Toscana, Emilia-Romagna, Marche, and then you have a huge number of overestimated in south regions, and where is it? Piemonte. I don't know any reason for that. So this is just a curiosity. I just want so. I mean, this is just for curiosity. But if you have questions or comments or opinions. Okay, another good one was Umbria. Okay, yeah. This is the number of municipalities. This is the number which are underestimated more than 30%, and this is the number which are overestimated with more than 30%. No, sorry, so the reverse, okay? The truth is that these are overestimated. It means the true value is below the function. And this underestimated, the true value is above the function. Buonanotte. Let me check. Where's my clock? I want to give you a final okay, here it is. So this is the type of analysis which is done often in economics. Okay, you put some variables in relationship with others. Okay, and you try to establish their connection. Let's say the state of economic system provides a particular output. Could be GDP, could be production, could be anything else. But I want you to be very cautious about this relationship, so I'm giving you some nice examples of situation in which you have a very strong relationship, you have a very high occurrences on the relationship. This will be linear examples, okay? The relationship will be linear. But I think you can understand by yourself that these are not there is actually no true connection between the quantities. So, first example here, we have the U.S. spending on science and technology in millions of dollars in a number of years. And then you have suicide. Okay, suicide by hanging, strangulation, and suffocation in the same years. For each year, you make a point in the U.S. spending versus suicide rate, and each point is 1 year. You compute the best linear fitting. The best linear fitting is this one. Okay. You check the mean error, and the mean error is this one, less than 2%. Okay. So this, if there was any relationship, you should say that we should not invest in science and technology. Okay, to reduce salary. The other one is even nicer. This is in the first decade of this century, the pro capita consumption of margarine in the U.S. Okay, and at this rate. And the other one is the divorce rate in Maine. Okay, in the very same year, you plot each year in the consumption of margarine versus divorce rate, okay? You compute the linear best fitting, and the mean error is 0.7%, okay? So if you want to prevent divorce, stop producing margarine, okay? Now, this is just to show you that correlation doesn't necessarily mean a cause-effect situation, okay? And these were compiled by an Harvard student, and you can find other teams of example on his website, which is described above there. Okay, so this is all. Semester ends here, and we meet again at the beginning of the new semester with the last part of the course.